Pretend right now like you're listening to the theme song. Go. It's 30 seconds long, so I'll wait. Welcome back, everyone, to Belonging Songs. It's the podcast that brings you a brand new song with each episode, then talks about the theme of that song and the processes that went into writing and recording it, sometimes the changes we make along the way. I am your host, Wade Dana. With me today in the studio, Chad Kelton.
Hello.
With me via Zoom, Mr. Patrick Crane.
Hello.
And special guest, Todd Bays.
Hi, everybody.
Todd's back.
Todd is back, and do you know why he's back? Does anyone want to take a stab at this?
He left his wallet and his wallet chain here last time.
Last year, yes. No, it's an ingredient song alert!
Ow!
I'm trailblazing.
That's right, another one. So the first time in Belonging Songs history that we've had three ingredient songs in one season, and the first time we've had a guest artist doing an ingredient song. So very exciting. Glad that Todd listened to whatever episode it was where we were soliciting for him and came
Saying
through for
me
us.
Specifically, yeah, I mean, I was pretty much in that episode, you know.
Because we called you out on it, right?
Exactly. So
we're pretty sure that you're our only listener, so.
Yeah.
No.
But you're highly participative, so our That's metrics, our algorithm, the yeah, David Chuckers algorithm told us to target you.
Yep. With the almanac, so.
Oh.
The podcasting almanac. Oh, first, before we move forward, for any new listeners, however unlikely that be,
For when Todd listens to this later.
Yeah, and forgets what an ingredient song is. An ingredient song episode is not like a normal episode. In normal episodes, we just write you songs and then bring them to the podcast and talk about them. In an ingredient song episode, the songs are constructed from pools of categories that we draw from. So, Todd, can you refresh our memories as to what your ingredients were for this song?
Gosh, good thing I wrote it down.
We write down on pieces of paper all the different ingredients, put them into cups, and one will be all the themes. So I believe the theme that you got was
Mythical Beasts.
So that was one of many that the listeners could have gotten to write a song about this season. What else did you get as ingredients?
It had to be at least 130 beats per minute.
Okay.
Positive or happy in tone.
Right on. That would have been a coin flip.
Yep. It needs to have orchestral aspect of at least four instruments.
Yeah, so we said like four orchestral instruments or something like that. Didn't we give the listeners the option in case they didn't have access to that, the option to use like a vibra slap?
I remember hearing that in a episode. I don't know if that was this one or not. Because the other thing that got pulled out of the hat at the same time that could be instead of or on top of the orchestral element is beatboxing.
Ooh, okay. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. So if you and listeners recall, Brad got the beatboxing. Mm-hmm. It turned out pretty good in his song. So
we're excited. I don't see Todd having any trouble with the orchestral.
Right. Yeah. I think that
composition
was
of it, though.
Or with the vibra slap, which I recall getting shot down several times in that episode.
Well, but I used to have a vibra slap, and then I don't know what happened to it.
What would have happened if in Dead or Alive, whoever produced that, probably Bob Rock, said no vibra slap?
I might have one, and it might be yours.
If you never like purposely went out and purposed a vibra slap, then
it that probably is yours. I'll have to I have a big, huge like box full of noisemakers in the back room, and sometimes I'll dig through it, and I swear I've seen one in there, and it could be yours.
That's a good chance.
Cool. Yeah. Hey.
Did Chuckers just say something about a strip club called the Vibra Slap?
If he did, he's already on his way. So there's no sense in going seeing if he's still up there. Him and
he's
Dave
got a $5 bill and a roll of quarters.
Yeah, the DeLorean's been loaded up. And they, of course, their time machine is an Escort. It's not even a DeLorean. So yeah. It's just spray painted silver.
And it has the donut on it right now, so I'm not sure if it can get fast enough to time travel.
Before we move any further, Chad, can you reach down there and turn on BradBot? Oh, hey, buddy, what's up?
Oh, ooh, a little rough firing up.
Get it all out of my life.
Oh, man, he is not in a good mood, and...
Hope you're not doing well.
And he's gone. Okay.
That was a big puff of smoke that came off the BradBot.
Yeah, he's been acting up lately. We're going to have to maybe update his firmware.
There's one last thing I got to throw in, which was my special item.
Yeah, okay. What did you get?
Shoe.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited to hear if there are any beatboxing elements in this. You guys want to take bets on if there's beatboxing yet before we listen?
I'll take the over.
You're going to take the over trifecta. On zero beatbox?
Mm-hmm. Going under.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
He did make sure to point it out.
Well, he could do one or the other, so he didn't have to, but definitely interested to hear what you've come up with for a shoe, if you have it in there yet. Todd, you had reached out even before we did the drawings saying that you would like to be in on the ingredient song exercise.
Yeah.
I guess just tell us how it's been going. Like, what is your experience like having to create a song out of these weird elements so far?
Well, when I heard you guys do it, it just sounded like such a fun exercise. And I always need some structure to do anything. And so
that's what my dad always said.
I mean, it's been awesome. I really am enjoying the process so far. Now, the thing is, of course, I procrastinated for months, and then I went to Iceland, and then I got COVID. And once I got back, that's when I texted you, Wade, and said, hey, give me a deadline. And you said, how about 2 weeks from now?
I'm like, well, and, we're getting down to it as far as episodes
well, and,
go.
And then so, yeah. So I'm like, yes. But then I still let another week go by. And so a week ago on Sunday, I started this. And just yesterday, I wrote and I recorded all the vocals, even with my remnant COVID cough and stuff. So my voice is, I could barely get the words out sometimes.
I do have a question, Todd.
Yes.
How much of the song is Bjork inspired or co-written?
Patrick, I have a question. Can you hear me when I have my hand over my mouth or when I don't better?
It's not over my mouth, Wade. It's to the side of my mouth.
I was just wondering.
You know, unfortunately, not Bjork inspired. You might be able to pick out other influences, but I don't know if Bjork's in there.
Patrick,
well, at least not
you asking
still,
that because Bjork is a mythical beast?
Mm-hmm.
Or okay. Icelandic.
This is going well.
Well, so...
You didn't
so,
have to invite me.
I'm glad you're here.
Well, so just to say that I haven't gotten as far as I would have liked, but I still want to do it. And so I did get the whole structure. I have the lyrics. I think it's at the point where we can listen and you can tell me what you think and we can move forward with it. I'll be able to get it now that I'm in the mode of writing. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to knock it out. You know, once you get into that mode, then it starts to fall in line, but it was just getting there, which, right. Like I said, started it last Sunday.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good segue into checking this out.
Since I was a kid, I've loved this cryptid. So passive and aloof, yet she seems like a goof. I've studied her for years, but I fear now she's gone. People say she's scary, but I say they're wrong.
Where's Ben?
In the forest.
Hey, footprints. distance. Did you hear that sound?
She egged me, cold and bedded, and got thick as fur green on her neck. She'd take you out, Bigfoot to the face. Except she's shy and just needs her space.
There's
okay, so that's a very mythical beast-ish.
Right.
So I picture a Yeti. I don't know if that's what you had in mind when you were writing, but it could be anything. It's very cartoonish sounding almost. You almost get the whole like animation going on with this.
It reminded me of a modern, almost Monster Mash kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought the song was hyper fun. The sort of disconnect between tempo and timbre of lyrics and guitar, I think, works really well because it sounds like a nervous heart rate with the guitar, and it's staccato, and it sounds like the narrator's almost out of breath what they're feeling. I thought the lyrics, like I said, were a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the little guitar, not really a solo, but it was just basically highlighted. No vocals feature at like the 1:13 mark, I thought was really well done. And then whatever this song becomes in its final form, I think leave that pretty bare.
Well, I left that for that'll be a solo is what's supposed to go there and orchestral elements. But
it
was just copied and pasted as all of it was, you know.
So clearly this is a very early demo, like you had mentioned. There's like just one kind of simple drum beat going through, and that's something that's really going to help this more defined drum parts and everything. And obviously you just got the guitar. There's not a bass in there, is there, at this point?
No, because I'm hoping that you want to continue with it and that Chad would write drums. I thought I would just hold off altogether on bass until there's an actual drum beat.
What I heard, Todd, for the bass in my mind was just like this ultra low droning bass, almost like that's the monster element of the song, where your guitar is the human or whoever the protagonist is. The bass line can play the part of
the
beast.
Fun. That's a fun idea.
I'm gonna take notes. I like that.
So listeners, BSers may not remember, but when Todd played music with us, like Chad and I in a band, he played the synth and keyboards. So I already know that this arrangement's going to get filled out with a lot of that orchestral arrangement. And that's something you're really good at. And I think that's also going to add a really fun element to this.
I already have thoughts, and I've already played around with it. I just at least got to a point where we could start.
Yeah, I think that you've got enough to build on here for sure. You had mentioned probably this all being re-recorded, which I think you're probably right. Obviously, the drums are going to really be the structure and backbone of this. I would say we start there, maybe tighten up your parts how you want them, and then we can record drums to them, and then you can start laying down all the other elements, and I think it'll fill out quite nicely.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking, is that even maybe this weekend I can work on getting it to that point. And of course, with whatever feedback you'll keep giving here, because I do kind of as soon as possible want to hand it off back to you to get the drums and stuff, and then we'll keep working from there.
Yeah. Bjork needs to lay down her part.
I'll see if I can get a hold of her.
So since Chad would be jumping in on drums, what do you hear that you would want more of? Things
that is
filled
a complete
out for you
throwaway.
To...
The track on there is a throwaway, yeah.
Like you want to refine those parts so they're tighter so you really can drum to them.
Obviously his rhythm guitar and stuff like that is heavily based on that, you know, that three beat, you know, that
it's
it
a 3-4 time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So keeping that, but also definitely driving harder with just more straight rhythm during your courses and bigger parts and all that. As you tighten that up, I'll get a little more feel on where to build, where to tuck away. But I'll definitely keep that 3-4 all the way through it because it's going to match your rhythm guitar real well. Even though I know you were just kind of strumming the part itself, I'm assuming you'll also do some chording over it and stuff like that too. It'll sound nice.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what you should work on, Todd, is getting another rhythm guitar track going to what you have. So Chad can take those cues.
It might
cues,
help since there's not like, a bass on
especially
there
like, yeah, chorus.
How and you'd like the low end, mm-hmm. you know, kind of working.
Okay. I mean, the one part where I can see the drums being close to what they are there is during the Patty chorus. Mm-hmm. I can see the drums being kind of like that, but for the rest of it, they can change however the whole time.
No,
I guess if I was going to lay down a bass line to anything that is already there, I can see doing a bass line to the Patty chorus mm-hmm. part.
Even if it's not going to be the final one, something in there to key off of for Chad would probably be good.
Yes.
Is that drum loop that you're using now just something that was like a drag and drop or like a preset?
Yeah, from already? Addictive Drums. Okay. Yep, it was just one of their straight 3-4 beat.
The vocals have a lot of opportunities to get super fun, and you can tell you were doing that. And I'm excited once the track gets built to hear where you take some of that, because it's hard to do to a demo and you can tell you're playing around with it. But I think once it starts falling into place, I think it's going to be fun to hear. Yeah. what you do. I feel like the ending doesn't end super great for the protagonist. Patty's running towards them at the end. So I think like a kind of a menacing ending to the song and maybe like something abrupt.
A little bigger.
Something big and then abrupt would really help put a period on the story. So that would be like something that would be fun for it to get kind of chaotic and then cut off.
I did think the exact same thing. And again, I just didn't have time to do that because also I'm sure you noticed that there really is no intro either. I mean, again, that drum start was just a throwaway mm-hmm. for me to be able to even get into it while I'm trying to sing it. And even I had to put in those pickup notes, guitar pickup notes, because I was having such trouble to even begin singing it. I'm like, oh, I need those pickup notes.
I think you definitely have room for an intro too, because you're sitting at 2:58 with this song. So definitely room to pad that out a little bit with something. Mm-hmm. Maybe like kind of whatever you come up maybe for that end, maybe kind of take some simplified elements of that and put it at the beginning type of thing.
Well, so one idea I have again for the shoes is to actually record kind of the sound of walking in the forest.
Okay.
And so I feel like that would be kind of a good use of shoes. And then at the end running, and you'll hear things happening with shoes too, probably.
Yeah. It'd be cool to experiment with like doing some Foley artist stuff, right? Putting the shoes through leaves to simulate like the forest and then maybe putting some effects on that.
Ooh. Or on some gravel, and then you walk up and you find an old dusty guitar, and then you pick it up, and then you blow on it, and then you strum it a little bit and tune it, and then you start the song.
That sounds like it's been done before.
It wasn't done well, so maybe you should do it again.
So Patty is the name of that the very famous video where you see Bigfoot in the woods.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's her name. It's Patty. Because the last name of the guy that did the video was Patterson.
How many big feet hunts have you been on, Todd?
I've been on, zero. But
do you have a call that
you
can give us?
Do you have a call that can get you through 30 episodes of a History Channel show?
Well, I found out that they, at least the ones in the Pacific Northwest, they whistle and they, what else do they do? I guess
they use a juice harp. It's a whole Bigfoot jug band.
Okay, well, I think we're going to jump to the future unless anybody has any more thoughts they want to get out on this.
All right now.
Bradbot?
Good luck.
He's still gone. All right, well, we'll be right back after this.
Set course.
To the future!
I actually came over to Chad's house to record the drums for your song because we were going to jam over here tonight, and it just worked out way better to get all of us here. So we actually just finished that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I should say welcome back. Let's just pretend like we are in the podcast now. We are in the podcast.
We've started?
We've started.
Okay. All right.
So welcome back, everyone.
It's comfortable in here.
Yeah. We're in the podcast world. Yeah. In Zoom.
Well, that is interesting.
So, since we left this
since
song,
we've been gone.
Brad, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
World.
Thank you.
Okay.
On this particular track.
Yes.
I've made it.
I was just, but this is cool. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're off to a good 2 minutes. Pretty good first 2 minutes with me on board.
Well, we started talking about podcast shit, and then I was
let's go live.
We haven't welcomed anyone back yet.
Anywho.
Yeah, so we're over at Chad's. We recorded some drums to this song because that was part of the plan, was to record drums for Todd's song. To get the listeners up to speed, that same week after we podcast, Todd and I were kind of texting back and forth about his song, and I had some arrangement ideas for him, and we kind of talked back and forth about that, and then Todd actually did do some rearranging on his song, so I had suggested that we had a difference on what we thought the chorus was, right, Todd?
Right. No, but I saw your point. Go ahead and tell them what you thought.
So my initial reaction from hearing the song is the "She's 8 feet tall," and you know that part, that was the chorus that really stood out in your mind. The "Where's Patty" part was the chorus for you,
right?
So I had suggested turning. It seemed more to me like the "Where's Patty" was a pre-chorus. So we did a little rearranging, or I suggested a little rearranging of putting the "Where's Patty" part in front of both of those "She's 8 feet tall" parts to make it feel more like a pre-chorus, chorus type of thing. And you did rearrange it, and I don't think you loved it at first.
No, but after listening to it, you know how it goes over and over. I'm like, okay, I can see this working.
Brad, do you know anything about that?
Eventually. But I think that is what led to you having trouble on the initial drum recording, is that, you know, I'm still newish to using Logic and Addictive Drums. And so all I did was literally take those graphic representations of the song and moved them around, you
cut
know.
And pasted.
And so then cut and paste or moved them. So obviously they didn't line up perfectly.
So yeah, they fell out of time. So when Chad came over to record the drums the first time, spoiler alert, today we recorded the drums for the second time. So Chad came over to my house, and yeah, we were having issues because things were slipping out of time. I was trying to put a click track to it, and I was like, this isn't working. And we muscled through it and got some takes, but I didn't feel like super great about it because of the timing issues. And that night after Chad left, it was bugging me, and I stayed up till like midnight working on it, and I found the edits where you had moved stuff, and I ended up getting everything back locked onto the grid and got Chad's performance edited to that, and it was sounding pretty good, but you know, it was still a cut and paste job of some things. It wasn't as smooth as it could have been. And for the future note, when you're doing stuff like that, you want to put your DAW Logic, you want to put that into grid mode, so you're selecting everything.
There's a grid mode?
Yes. And you want to probably stay in quarter notes, you know, the bigger the better, so it's easier to grab certain parts and move them, and when you move them, it should all line up again on the grid.
There is a grid, you know, representation in there, but it probably wasn't set to snap to it, you know?
Right. I haven't used Logic in a while. In Pro Tools, it's slip mode. I don't know if it's the same in Logic, but where you're basically free, you're off the grid, you can select stuff however you want. But if you put it in grid, when you select, you'll see it go like square to square to square on the grid, and that'll keep you in time when you do in the future move stuff around in your arrangement. That's a really handy tool. So
it's default mode for me.
Yeah, it is. It's good to get used to working in that, especially when you're working on a song with a click track, because it's really hard to screw it up when you do drag and drops and move stuff around, and it just keeps everything locked.
If we didn't do this podcast, Todd, I would still be working in standard slip mode too.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys powering through, because I definitely did like what you did the first time, Chad. The re-record is just a couple of ideas that were in my head that I wanted to get out there.
And I could see you wanting that ride cymbal, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's,
just for that.
Why don't you walk us and the listeners through what you did since we podcasted last? Because you've re-recorded most everything. You had the first thing we listened to was a very raw demo. So
yeah.
After we podcasted, why don't you tell us what happened?
Well, after that, I was still working with the addictive drum loops or whatever that I had initially put in there, but I built it out by recording the strings and the sitar and an Asian like flute sounding sound. I just filled it out with bass guitar and then the other criteria for the ingredient song, you know, the orchestral instruments.
Oh yeah, Brad, this is an ingredient song, did you recall?
I picked that up.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I did. And I know I also did, at some point I used WaveTune just on the first line of my lyrics, and somehow in all these bounces and transfers it got
a little squirrely,
funky. But that's okay, because that's still on the list. I'm going to re-record all the vocals,
okay,
except the Where's Patties, you know, those kind of Tom Waitsy Where's Patties. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll be able to recreate that. I'll try. I still had my, you know, end of COVID voice for that,
right?
And so that's why that kind of works. So but I will re-record all of the rest of the vocals.
I would recommend not using the Waves tune when you do that.
Oh, right. No, that's true. I used that after the fact because you could tell on the first line a couple of the words were off.
Mm-hmm.
I just let Wade do it.
Yeah, and I actually prefer it that way, because if you're using it incorrectly, it'll add artifacts that can't be corrected.
Which is, I'm too scared to use it is mainly why I use it.
I never commit to the, like, unless you're using, like, auto-tune as like an effect or something that you want to commit to, I would recommend doing that stuff. Try to get it as close as you can, like in the performance, and then tweak it afterwards, because if it does correct it wrong or does something weird, you can't go back. Yeah, so then Todd sent me his re-recorded tracks, then Chad came over, and then I sent it back to you, and you had notes about the chorus for the drums. You wanted a very specific ride pattern.
Well, I think that's kind of something that Chad does a lot, is you do kind of mirror melody and other instrument parts with your drums. And that's mm-hmm. something that I always saw or thought in my mind about that part, that the ride cymbal should kind of mirror the galloping or whatever you would call it on the guitar.
Yep. The original time I played it in halftime. So this was, you know, you wanted driving quarter notes. You wanted it to move, move, move. Definitely the ride is a good choice for it, and we did have a little trouble matching exactly what
yeah, it was tough for Chad to get that, because
it was
you programmed, like, you know, very specific 16th note patterns with the
I played that, you know, live on a
keyboard
okay, yeah, yeah. I didn't think, what do you call that, quantize or anything, so that is just mm-hmm.
okay.
playing it, but then the bass drum parts and the snare drum parts that I did on the grid move those around so that they were in time. And
well, I can say that a finger can move faster than an arm. So,
right.
It was a challenge, but I think we got a lot closer to your idea. And of course, all this stuff we're talking about, we're not going to hear until the next revisit, because the version we're going to listen to now is the version Todd sent for us to listen to, get the idea for this mm-hmm. That ride and record to. So I think it's a good spot to listen to this. This is way different. Like, this is leaps and bounds better than where it started.
What I sent you for the first part when we got together was a bare bones, like,
yeah.
Just, yeah. I mean, I've worked on it quite a bit since.
Yeah, so this version here has Chad's drums that we recorded first. Then in the choruses, Chad's real drums drop out, and then the edits that Todd did.
Does this one have your seamstress work on it?
It does, because yes. Okay. Wade sent me back the tracks so that when I re-recorded that all of the strings, everything was Wade edited so that
yeah.
when
so
I was working with them, they would fall in line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just yep. curious. I got yep. it back on online okay. to where it needs
and
to
so
be.
And so this is still the original strings and keys and mm-hmm. vocals, it's all that. So now this one has re-recorded from the first time we podcasted, re-recorded bass, re-recorded guitars. I actually busted out my triple rectifier for the first time. I've never tried recording an amp. They've always been the simulators.
Okay,
cool. And,
how did that go for you?
That went good. I think, I mean, I used the SM57 to record it, and so I'll probably try.
All over the place.
I have a hard time with it, is why I was asking.
Oh, really?
And I do it with, I try it with the 57 too, and it's, I just can't seem to get like a good sound. And it's, I try mic placements and everything. It just frustrates me, so I always go back to direct.
I don't know that it's perfect, obviously, the first time doing it, but I thought I was pretty happy overall. But again, with the triple rectifier is just a, you know, an awesome sounding amp. And so I thought it was okay.
All the Imania redo songs that we're doing this season, Todd was in that band, and I used to play through his triple rectifier that he's talking about. He let me borrow it for years.
For years, it was like sitting at your house, yeah.
Okay, let's listen to the song and then we'll talk more about technical stuff. We've listened. I'd like to get Brad's thoughts on this ingredient song that
what
he's
were the
never
ingredients?
Heard. Todd.
Okay, so the subject or theme was mystical creatures, mm-hmm. and so I hope you can tell from the lyrics that I picked Bigfoot, and because Bigfoot lives here in the Pacific Northwest. Other ingredients were, it had to be 130 beats or higher, so that's at 132. Mm-hmm. And what else? It needed to have a shoe, and so those footsteps in the beginning are actually still, they're from... some archive site or some, you know, audio site, but they really match perfectly. Like,
and you're assuming those are done with shoes out.
Yeah, what are those were boots?
I mean, it's someone walking on leaves, and I'm saying they had shoes on.
Okay.
And it needed orchestral instruments.
Got it.
So that's where the strings and the sitar and stuff come in. The other option that was drawn, I could have put beatboxing in, but. Uh-huh. That just didn't fit.
Yeah, well, I feel
you'd be
you there.
Stepping on Brad's toes then.
Shit. Know?
I'm trying to think. It needed to be happy in tone also.
Yeah. Okay.
And I remember talking to Wade about this because he thought it should have ended after Patty's like running towards them. But so the story goes that Bigfoot likes to whistle. You know, real Bigfoot, they whistle. So that's why at the beginning of the song, the two characters are whistling. That's why it's like a duet.
They're out looking for a Bigfoot. Mm.
They're out
right?
looking for Patty, the
I
Bigfoot.
Didn't know that.
And then at the end, so instead of Bigfoot or Patty, you know, eating the guys.
Yeah,
whatever,
so my idea
Bigfoot.
Was like when there's that build, I was like, oh, that's like the Bigfoot running after
yeah,
these people.
It done, yeah.
I was like, maybe the song should just end there because like they're dead.
They're dead.
But then Todd was like, well.
But it has to be happy in tone, yeah. and so and because Bigfoot likes to whistle, then you hear that weird third whistle in the harmony, like
oh, so they're hanging out now.
So they're hanging, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
which I thought
yeah,
was cool.
That is a better twist. Yeah, it takes it straight to death.
Right.
Like well, only I could have left it there too, but because it was supposed to be happy in tone, I decided that the three of them
like
walk
out ingredients.
Everybody goes out looking for Bigfoot, and they assume like you know there's going to be an issue, and they want to kidnap him. I mean, it'd be pretty cool if he was just a bro.
He's like, oh, you guys, finally somebody who just wants to hang.
Yeah,
right?
That's pretty spam. I've been bored. That's sweet. That's awesome. All right, so that ties the lyrical side of it up.
I think you nailed all the ingredients.
I was curious because Todd has a different brain than we do, I think. And so I was like, okay, what did he put in there automatically that was just his idea and what was actually required? Right. I think it's cool, man. It's a cool song.
Todd. You mentioned the triple rectifier, which is a guitar amplifier that you're using, recorded
Mesa
through
Boogie.
SM57. What other kind of gear are you using? What did you do for the bass? Do you have a bass guitar?
Bass, I went direct, and I used in Logic, what was it? It's probably a bass preamp simulator.
So you played the bass on a keyboard?
Oh, no, it's bass guitar.
Oh, it is?
It's right behind
you. Oh, I do see one there, yeah.
Yeah, I bought a bass finally guitar. Last year.
Do they make a bass guitar?
Just put lower on
idiots. Yeah, it's just the lower register.
No, so that's the Fender P bass.
Okay,
nice.
Cool.
Right? No, jazz bass.
Jazz?
It's the Fender jazz bass.
That's a little chrome piece.
So you recorded just the SM57. Now you're recording through that Shure KSM.
Yeah, that's what I use for the vocal, KSM32.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know. Do you recommend in future recording, should I try this on a guitar cab?
The reason I bring it up, because I would definitely try it. Yeah. And same with Brad. I know you have more than just the SM57 at your house. If you don't like the sound of that one, I would throw that other condenser mic that you have on it and just see how that sounds. And also, I have a bunch of mics. You're welcome to borrow until you find one you like. I usually use... we're running out of time, it says. I usually use a Sennheiser 609 for a lot of my guitars, which I like a lot, and 57.
9 minutes and 33 seconds.
Oh, because free version, it's probably limited.
Yeah.
We can wrap this up in 9.5 minutes.
Yeah, because we're going to still revisit this song. What are your plans going forward? You said you're going to re-record the vocals.
Yeah, re-record the vocals. I'm going to re-record... some of the guitar parts in this version, you can tell there's a little, some flubs and stuff. So whether or not I re-record or if I just edit those What else? So in this version, there is a new guitar part that I just recorded yesterday.
Yeah, that clean guitar.
Clean guitar and acoustic. They're both in there.
Okay.
And I replaced that kind of other lead type guitar part that used to go all the way through it with that. And I remember that Patrick said that thing that I replaced sounded like a heartbeat of or something of the song. As I was listening to it, I just thought it was too repetitive. It actually was the very first rhythm that I even recorded.
I would still like to hear some solo elements in that middle break and during the build, maybe even, or at least
play
around
with
that.
Well, and I do plan to do that.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten there yet. I do plan to, because you had talked about when we talked on the phone about that the whistle solo part, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to add guitar solo to that, mm-hmm. whether
that
probably at least halfway through, if not all the way, but probably start with whistling and then morph into a guitar solo.
Cool. Well, yeah, we're going to hope to get this wrapped up and mixed here, hopefully in the next week. Is that sound doable for you?
Yeah. Yeah, because cool. I know you want this episode to happen like a week from Monday.
And then we're going to hit it again. Right now, we're going to be forced to jump to the future because of our free Zoom account limits.
Right.
And we've got some jamming to do, but Todd, thanks for joining us again.
Yes, likeous. Thank you guys for all your work on it.
Even over, next time I won't. It won't be free.
Maybe next time Wade will pay to see you.
I didn't know it was going to run out.
Like, cheap bet.
Yeah.
Set course.
To the future.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here for the Toddcast. Brad and I are in studio. Todd is coming at us from across the country. Welcome again, Todd.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. It's been exactly 1 week since we last casted, which put us under the gun to get this song done. And you did work on it over the weekend, and by the end of last weekend, had got me all the files. I started working on this Monday night. I've worked on this every night since.
Wow.
Last night was working, well, pretty much every night till around 11:30, 12. And then I finished the mix about 10 minutes before Brad walked in the door. And I don't know, 20 minutes before right now.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry that my song is so difficult.
No, it does. I mean, songs take a lot of work. I don't know if people realize.
Yeah, he does it to me too.
Well, I have found that out because
he's like, you got a lot of. I put a lot of hours into this.
Well, I put a lot of hours into mine too. It's just that's just part of song creation. Part of the
Well, and I put a lot of hours into it too. I think I started working on it finally when I got home from Iceland, which was at the end of June, and here we are at the end of August. So it's a long time.
Yeah, I was gonna try and get it to Todd so he could listen to it ahead of time and possibly give me mixed notes, but we're doing that live now. So
hey, that's fine. I'm sure it's good.
I don't even know, because like I said, crammed for
it. He's numb to it now.
Yeah, my brain turned to mush because you just listen to any music like for hours and hours straight. You start to lose track of what you're even hearing. So yeah, I hope it did turn out good. Obviously, if you have any notes or tweaks you want to make, we can do that over the weekend before this episode comes out. And if they're minor, I'll just insert whatever tweaked version into the show.
Yeah.
But so I think we should jump in and listen to this unless you got anything else, Todd, that you want to talk about from finishing it up. I think you were pretty close last time we talked.
Well, just on the same vein of like when you're listening to things over and over again. And I remember on previous episodes, Brad, you have talked about this. Like I did write a solo guitar part to it. When you're stuck in that part and you put something down and then they're like, wait a minute, does this even fit with the rest of the song? Then I went back and listened and even redid it after that. So just that process where if you get stuck in a piece of it and then you get it all done, then you wait, that piece doesn't even fit.
Yeah, you had recorded the solo and sent it to me, and I listened to it, and you're like, I don't know, I might re-record it. And after I got into it, I was like, I think it's good. I don't think you really
Yeah, I've done that plenty. Then you start overthinking it back and forth. And
yeah,
you're like,
Brad,
oh boy,
you do that a lot.
I do it a ton.
Well, yeah. So yeah, let's listen.
Okay, so we'll wait for your thumbs up. We're gonna listen to it here. Todd's gonna listen to it there, and we'll see you on the other side.
Do we do like 3, 2, 1 or anything?
Sure.
You don't say 2 or 1.
Oh yeah, Brad, count us down.
3.
Thoughts.
Well, I like it. Same with when Brad hears things for the first time. I'm hearing it for the first time and it's like, wow, that's different. And but I do like it for sure. I would have to listen to it more times to kind of get more of an impression, but certainly first listen, I do like it for sure.
Cool.
Right. Glad that's not just me.
Right. Well, that's why I did want to get it to you earlier, but we just ran out of time.
No, I think everything obviously, I heard the song previously. I didn't hear it with Chad's drums. Really like Chad's drums on it.
Yeah, it was half and half last time.
Yeah, which was good. I like that. I loved all the parts. I was actually listening to him specifically. The sound of the drums is really
He's got
good.
A couple really cool fills
he
in
does.
There.
Yeah.
There's one in the second verse
yep.
that really...
From the toms,
which is really cool.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
And the solo wasn't in there when you heard it last.
Yeah, the solo wasn't in there. So yeah, it filled it out. It flowed. And then I was actually just remembering kind of Todd's description of the song. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of just working with a vision in my head, which was pretty neat. It's a good one.
Cool. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm curious. Can you guys pick out the influences? Because you even did something with the solo that reminds me of one of the influences of this song.
That solo almost reminds me of like a video game, fantasy video game, something. I really like how that turned out.
Yeah. When I wrote that, a kind of clear part that's newer, I actually had Fade to Black in mind, Metallica.
Okay.
And then somehow your treatment to that lead reminded me of almost a Metallica lead in a way too. And then of course, other influences in there I hear are like Faith No More doing Black Sabbath and you know, stuff like
did,
that.
Now that you mentioned the Black Sabbath, there is a very specific, the dun, 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 that's very Black Sabbath-esque. And I thought that a couple times when I was getting into working on this. So yeah, that does stick out.
I re-recorded all the vocals. And like mm-hmm. I said to you, Wade, I'm like, I don't know, is this any better? Since I've heard it with the old vocals so many times, I have it stuck in my head that way. So I just have to hear it this way a few more times, and I'm sure that it will click.
And I didn't have the old vocals in my session at all. I just worked on the newer ones you'd sent me. Did some tuning on them. I would say the vocals isn't the strongest part. You can tell you're still getting comfortable with that.
Yes, that is true.
And you're recording in an apartment, so I'm sure you're a little tentative to belt out on your next songs. I would pay attention to working on vocals. The vocals are the hardest for me, even if Shanna is home.
Yeah.
Like, I just get self-conscious about it. It's hard to like, really let loose and get comfortable with it. You probably feel the same. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I typically get the better takes when everybody's outside.
Right, same.
Or something, or not around, or I've actually done it too, where I'll sing a part quieter, but with a higher mic, right? Like
turn the gain up
on the mic, and you can kind of capture some better things that way. I've done that quite a bit, which is good because it doesn't bother my wife, and I've gotten some good takes that way.
Todd, I know you doubled the vocals, and I don't know what your process was, but what really helps me is I like to lay one down, and then I always like to have something to sing with. I like to have a good take that I'm singing along to. And even that good take will usually get replaced by better ones as I go. I like to get at least two that I feel are really good and tight together, but it helps for me to lay one down first and then sing to it. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, that is what I do. I kind of, in the project, you know, I have a record track and then I would lay it on that track. And then if I like it enough, bring it down to its own track and then keep bringing stuff down. This time I didn't do a lot of takes. I agree. That's something that I need to work on. And I guess after listening to the first version a bunch of times, I think in the She's 8 feet tall part, I think in this newer version, you can actually tell, or I can actually tell, I'm trying harder to make sure the words are landing on beat. And I think you can like hear me doing that. And it wasn't as apparent maybe in the first version. But again, it's a process.
Yeah. Ingredient song. The whole experience, pretty fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, like the first time you guys did one, it just sounded like fun. And I've wanted to do one since. So yeah, I'm glad it worked out. Like I said, I would never have written a song about Bigfoot, you know, otherwise, you know, just the challenge of incorporating orchestral instruments and making it a certain speed and all, you know, like that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for taking the challenge on and being a part of the show and being such a supporter. We really appreciate it. And it's been fun for us too, to have somebody else involved.
Yes.
Anything else you want to tackle before we get out of here?
No, I think that's good. I'll listen some more and just let you know if there's any minor tweaks, but I think it sounds cool. I like what you did with the Where's Patty's vocals. And the last time I did a song with you guys, the more that I listened to your version, the more that I liked it and understood what you did with it. Because like you, Brad, the initial listen is like,
a little disappointing here sometimes, but I've gotten comfortable with what Wade does more and more as we've moved along here. Sometimes it sets you off because you have like a more dominant vocal that is, like you said, in your head. and it's what you've listened to for so long, and then he'll take that, yep, and it'll be the background vocal, and mm-hmm, you're like, oh, what happened? But it's better for the song a lot of times when yeah, it lands. That's a kudos to you, Wade, for thanks, being a good arranger and a good mixer.
The more that I practice recording this way, the better it'll be, because, you know, it's practicing these new parts over and over and getting a good take. I'm pretty sure you probably had to like fix some flubbed notes and cut and paste and stuff like that, which I think the more I do this, there will be less of that type of work to do, hopefully.
Yeah, and that's just to be expected. I mean, this is song two and how long? Mm-hmm. Like, and you yeah, had mentioned before, this is a unique way for you to record. Like, you've never just pieced a song together other than what the ones you've done on the show. Like,
yeah, because I've always been in a band, and
right,
we've bounced off each other like in a physical space together and wrote music that way. And so to write music this way is it's different, but a lot of fun. And I like this time was easier than okay, the first time I cool, did it. And I like I say, just the more I do it, the better it'll be.
Yeah, I think the more you get into it in realizing that like the computer, the DAW that you're using is such an important tool. As if we were talking about the arrangement earlier, how you can have everything on the grid and like grab parts and move them around.
Speeds
once you get it makes things so much easier to really experiment and flesh out your ideas. So hopefully that's something that continues as you go down your journey here.
Yeah, yes.
I know Patrick and Chad aren't here right now, but what I'm going to do is for our season finale, our year in review, I'm going to make sure everybody listens to the songs that they weren't on the episodes to hear the end of. So I'll make sure at the beginning of that episode to get everyone's thoughts on any songs that they may have missed sweet, during the show before we jump into the whole looking back on the year. So look out cool, for their thoughts in that episode on this song. Again, yeah, want to thank you, though, for joining us and working on this and getting it in on a deadline, too, which really helps because it's hard to wrangle everybody, and I appreciate you just being a part of it.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and I appreciate all the work that you've done, Chad, and like, and you guys listening. Like, yeah, it's fun. I appreciate it.
Cool. So we are now going to get out of here. Brad and I are going to go play some tennis. Mm-hmm. So listeners, hope you've enjoyed this episode. We are coming back at you. Let's see, what does it say? Where are we at on there, Brad? This is good podcasting right here.
Yeah, okay. BTS, baby.
September 12th, our last instrumental redo. Then the 19th, our last song of the season. And then on the 26th, the big year in review. Yeah. So everybody look out for those. Check out our website, belongingsongs.com. Check out the merch page there, you know. Also, you can send us a message, bs@belongingsongs.com. Brad's just checked this episode off the board up there.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's
made
good,
some progress.
Still got a lot of work to do, you see, on the upcoming stuff. So I got to get to work on that. Again, for me, for Patrick and Chad and Brad, Todd, thank you so much. We'll see everybody again here next time.
Cool.
Bye.